The joy, of course, that we've just celebrated, that joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of living a life that's different than the rest of this world, to be celebrating when the world is weeping, to have a focus when the world is all over the place. And throughout this past week of the week of prayer, there's been a repetitive theme that I think has just woven into the hearts of all those that have been part of this week. And it was the reality of a brokenness before God. I know this is sort of in tension between what we just finished doing and we need to celebrate, so please, we need both. But this week was a time of us just being very broken. A time, usually the prayer meetings, there's each day, we have a certain focus, and that's all been awesome. But this year, it was about a brokenness, about coming before as God's people on behalf of a nation, on behalf of a situation, or behalf of our own selves. And oftentimes within the context of that, crying out were the words that we're also familiar with, the words that we call the Lord's Prayer. A prayer that we have all prayed somewhere along the way. We've heard it certainly. Perhaps you grew up learning it in a catechism class or whatever it may be, but it's sort of become one of those prayers that we just kind of know. And this week we heard over and over again, and we've heard it in National Days of Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And I want to focus on that a little bit this morning because I really believe it's a word, and dare I say a prophetic word for us to know as God's people. Matthew 6, 9, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Oh man, you've all been saying that in your head with me, haven't you? It's just there. It's just there. It's been used and abused. And Jesus is with his disciples and he's walking through a number of things. And finally he says, look, there's a way to pray. There's a way to pray that's not power as a prayer, but a power within the context of what he is calling his disciples to do, and he's calling us to do as well today. So just a quick overview of the pieces of this prayer, and then I want to go back and unpack it for us this morning. Our Father in heaven is about a relationship that we have. Hallowed be your name, the reality of who he is a holy God. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, a request for his authority to be released. Give us today our daily bread, release our needs. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who forgive our debtors or those sinned against us, receive our repentance. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Renew your protection over us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And restate your lordship over our hearts and over our lives. So let's look at this a little bit more. Because this is more than just a prayer that we tack on at the end of a service or something like that. It's a prayer that's from the heart of Christ that he speaks into the lives of those, the disciples, those that are following him, those that are beginning to understand the kingdom of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And so that first part is this relationship, our Father in heaven. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the ability to call him our Father. He knows who we are. Because without that relationship, there's nothing about the kingdom that will matter to us. In my second trip to Trinidad, I had been there with Pastor Baton, and I did some marriage a week there or so of meetings. And then they asked me to come back again, and so I did. And on my way coming back, I thought, all right, so I came to the airport, I had all my stuff, and they said, who are you? I told them, and he said, then where are you going? And I said, I'm going to be ministering with Pastor Baton. Now, if you've been to Trinidad, it's not like this little, like, it's not like Smithtown, you know, it's a whole country. So he said, well, I don't know Pastor Baton. I thought, well, I know who he is, you know. How come you don't know who he is? So I said, well, that's where I'm going. He goes, well, what's the name of the church? I was like, oh, gee, I don't remember exactly what the name of the church was. It was something, I don't know. Well, what province is it in? So he's looking at me, and I'm thinking, Lex, I know where I'm going. What's the big deal? So if he looks at me and he goes, I'm sorry, I can't let you in. I thought, what? But it's Pastor Ted. I'm going to see Pastor Baton because we're doing services. This is the part I still, he goes, well, you can sit over there, like in the principal's office. So I went over to this long bench on this big white wall and I just sat there like, I'm in trouble now. So I sat there and I thought, is he really going to send me back? Then I'm thinking, do I have a plane ticket back? I mean, for today? I mean, I don't know how this, my mind is going a million miles a minute. All of a sudden I hear across the airport, Pastor Bichelle. And there is Pastor Baton walking through. He walks up to the guy. They talk back and forth. I think they were laughing at me. They go talk back and forth. He comes over. He goes, I know him. I get up, and out we go. You see, our relationship with the Lord is not just something we tack on. It's not something we know about because we grew up in a kind of church or we read a particular thing or we watched a TV show. It's not coming to Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle and saying, well, now I know everything because I'm sitting in the pew here. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that opens our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so when we are at that place, we can know everything like I did that day, but until the voice of the Lord comes and says, you're mine, you're mine. Come into my kingdom. Come and be part of my kingdom. Then we're just sitting on the bench with no connection at all. And so this prayer continues and he says, hallowed be your name. And that is, boy, that is the most key thing to understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's a holy place. It's a place in which the presence of God, you can't just rush in and grab hold of him. It's like the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, the place where the presence of God came down. Holy is your name. We can't just say those things without realizing the full impact of them. It's those things that are beyond our understanding how holy something is, how set apart something is. Holy are you. You're a personal, my Heavenly Father, but you're holy. I don't take it for granted. I don't talk to you like you're just someone else. I come into your presence overwhelmed that I have a relationship with a holy, perfect God. But then the part that we need to hear, and I think we need to hear it throughout all the prayers that we've been praying, the request for his authority. I know who he is because I have that relationship. I know he's holy and he's not going to do what my shopping list for him. But I'll tell you this, he says now, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say my will be done, my thoughts be done, my idea be done, my sense of Christianity be done. It says you, my Father, the Holy One, your kingdom and your kingdom alone, that's all I want. And I guess the question is that really all we want? Because I think for some of us, when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's sort of like that big robe that we have. You know, my wife has one, Jacqueline has one, these big robes. You know, it's like one of those days and you just kind of put that fluffy big robe on. And I hate to say it, but I think sometimes when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's just like, God, put us in that big fluffy robe. So it feels good. Your kingdom come and make everything nice. Make the temperature perfect. Make it nice and soft and comfortable in this world that's coming apart. I just want to go through this world like on a big fluffy cloud. And yet that's not at all. We reflect what the kingdom is versus what we want. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not on this earth. Some of you may think it is, but it isn't. And that's why at a certain point when the things are happening around us, I step back and go, wait a minute. I'm just visiting here. I'm just visiting here for a season to speak about the kingdom and the things that matter to God, but I'm not staying here. Oh, I'm not staying here. Because I'm a citizen of a whole nother country, a whole nother place. But what happens when we say, God, bring your kingdom to this earth? We bring into the obedience to the laws and the ordinances of it. We bring Christ's kingdom to come. We let God's will be done and we introduce heaven upon earth. That's who we are as citizens of heaven, as ones that speak forth what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not what I think it should be all about. That would probably be a TED talk. This isn't a TED talk, okay? The reality is when God steps in, it's different than the way I see it, even on my best day. And so the most important thing is to be part of that kingdom. John 3:5, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God until he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives flesh birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. That's the entry point. That's the welcoming. That's getting off that bench of all this information, but not the relationship. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. That's it. No maybes, no something. You must be born again. That's not my words. That's the words of Christ our Lord. And so that means that that entry into the kingdom of God is much bigger than the little things that I try to put together. It's a breathtaking, awesome, transforming work that God does in our life. So when we step, get this, when we step into the kingdom, we are there fully changed and made whole in the presence of God. We don't have to get to the kingdom and try to figure it out. We don't have to get to the kingdom and say, oh, I think I messed up. He says, no, when you come into my kingdom, it's because you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are cleansed, you are made whole, and you are welcomed into the kingdom of God. That's an awesome thing, and sometimes I don't even think we realize that. We feel like it's some kind of pass. It's a transformation. So when I come into the kingdom of God, it's not a surprise. It's not like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. It's like, oh my goodness, this is exactly where I feel right at home, right here, right in the kingdom of God. But then there's the other part that we can't turn away from, and hear me through these words this morning. It's the things that God also says are not part of the kingdom, are not part of his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, we read this, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, or the adulterers, or the male prostitutes, or the homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed and were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. The kingdom of heaven is not developed by cheap grace like Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. It's not something that we just throw out and everybody comes in. He says, no, these are the people that are in, the people that have been washed in blood by the blood of Jesus Christ. These are the people that are not. But the blood of Jesus Christ allows those that are not to be in. Do you understand? It's that we read those words, we say, oh my goodness, how could God do that? How could he do it? Because he sent his son to save those that are in all those categories, the wicked, the immoral, the idolater, the adulterer. All those things through Jesus Christ are changed and transformed and now have a citizenship in heaven. But we can't assume that just because they exist, that the doorway to eternity is open for them. Just because I existed in that airport in Trinidad, it didn't mean that they were going to let me in. There had to be a confirmation that I belonged there. And when Pastor Baton came, it was sort of like the Lord saying, you're supposed to be here. When I come in the presence of God, I want to know and I want to hear him say, you're supposed to be here. I want to meet with you. I want to speak into your life. I want to pray. I want to pray to a God that knows who I am and I know who he is. So if we're calling his kingdom to manifest itself, we better be ready for his power to come in. Because when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, we better be ready for some real cleaning out in all of our lives. God, let your kingdom come. And I mean, we can either do this or here we go. I don't know what it's going to take. Do you know the level and the intensity, the amount of pornography that has increased tremendously over this pandemic area? Tremendously, as people try to escape out of this world into another kind of world. Domestic violence has increased. just this tremendous running in the flesh. And we say, God, when your kingdom come, let your will be done. And God's will is that all men may come to know him as Lord and Savior of their life. And if that means the kingdom that exists in my life is there to touch the lives of others, and so let it be. And if that means I have to change, if that means I have to come to that place where God's transforming work changes every single part of me for the sake of others that might come into the kingdom, then so let it be. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes, through Jesus Christ. And I have watched God do it all the time. When I say, God, make a change in me. Cause me to love my wife more than ever. Cause me to do this or that or whatever it is. He will guard you. He will guide you. He will put walls around you until you get the message. But sometimes even that, we go and say, I don't care. I just want peace. I just want to feel good again. And we press through the very thing that he's placed there to protect us. The power of the Holy Spirit. We're not listening. He's given us his word. He's given us his presence. He's given us his Holy Spirit because that's what his kingdom's about. So what do I expect to get from God? He's not going to be different than who he is for me because I don't get it. He says, I'll bring my word to you. I'll bring my presence to you. I'll let my Holy Spirit dwell over you so that you can know what it means to be in my kingdom. So when I say your kingdom come, it's like, bring it on, God. Whatever that's going to take, the washing and the establishing of who you are in my heart and my life. You see, then when we come to that place where we say, give us today our daily bread, it's coming not as a shopping list like I get when I go to the store. Phyllis, I love Phyllis, because she'll say, I'm just going to go down. I need to pick up a battery. Okay, so are you going to Stop and Shop? No. Oh, because if you were, here's the list. Well, I guess they have batteries at Stop and Shop. That wasn't exactly where I was going, you know. Are you going, or here's, I love when she says, are you going anywhere today? No, not going anywhere. Anywhere. You see, when we are part of the kingdom, we only want what God has for us. Think about that. I only want, God, what's part of your kingdom. Don't give me anything else. If what I'm asking for is not going to bring me closer and have me truly understand the fullness of your kingdom, I don't want it. I don't want it. Food, things we have, thoughts we, friendships, whatever it is, God, give me today the daily bread that will move in my heart and my life so that I can say I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, and God has given me this as a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's a big difference than just a shopping list. So that's why this week, the week of prayer, was a time of just being on our knees, crying out to God, saying, let your kingdom come and get rid of all the stuff that's in the way. Block my eyes from seeing things I don't need to see anymore, so that the kingdom will be released through my life, through this church. I think we've been hijacked by our present thinking that we determine what our daily bread is. I'm not that way anymore. A long time ago, Phyllis and I learned, just God, what would you have for us? I mean, there have been times where it was tough. But there are times that we realized, wow, if we would have gotten what we wanted, how awful that would have been. Because now what we have is far beyond that. We have a piece of the kingdom of God now. We have an understanding of what it means to pray and see God do miraculous things. We have an understanding now what it means when God blesses us to take that and pass it on to somebody else, that the blessing is far greater than the stuff that we've had. So you see, when we say, give us today our daily bread, there's not a period. It's like, give me today the daily bread of the kingdom of God so I will do with it whatever you want me to do with it. If you're answering my prayer, God, thank you, because now I want to pray that you would answer somebody else's prayer, or that I might be a part of an answer to somebody else's prayer and move into people's hearts and lives. And then he says, you know, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, or our debtors as we forgive those our debtors. You know, that reality, 1 Peter 4 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. You see, when we say forgive us, it's a receiving of that repentance, the fruit of that repentance that happens in our lives. And we have to be people of repentance. We have to be people that repent when we know it's wrong. We can't just slough it off. Oh, well, God understands. No, he understands we need to repent. That's what he understands, because, see, that's part of the kingdom. That's normal in the kingdom of God. That happens every day in the kingdom. When God's kingdom, there is the reality of God's grace and his mercy that's connected with our repentance. We're not going to have his mercy if there's not a heart of repentance. When we've cried out for our nation, I remember crying out, I said, God, forgive us for every reason you could destroy us, but I'm asking for your mercy upon us. Your mercy on a nation that's turned its back on you. Forgive us and let your mercy be extended. That's repentance. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us so that we can come before you and say, I don't know what anyone's going to do. I know this, God. You're the only one that can forgive the way we need to be forgiven in our hearts and our lives. And that's when he says that, but as a result, we don't live the rest of our life, this earthly life, but rather for the will of God. You see, if we can just get hold of the will of God and move in that place, and then finally, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, because thine is the kingdom and the power. How are we going to have that power? How are we going to have that authority? Because he says right there, you are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we wait, oh, eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. A holy and righteous kingdom led by a holy and righteous leader, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not only the leading us not into temptation, it's the authority that God has to do that in every area of our lives, in every area of our lives. And so this last part of this incredible prayer is one that mounts us up, in a sense, on wings like eagles, that we're able to say, you're the kingdom, you're the glory, that's all that matters to me. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and here I am, God. I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be in that place, whatever that's going to take, whatever you have to change in my heart and in my life. Our cheap grace has to be over. It's not everybody, come on. It's everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you don't, then it's a repentance, an accepting of him as the Lord and Savior. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I think many of us over these last few months have found ourselves in Psalm 91, right? It's like, what should I read today? Psalm 91. What's on my heart? Psalm 91. I just finished watching the news. Psalm 91. I got it, Psalm 91. And if you've not read it and you're just not sure, it's in your Bible too. But I want to read this last one part from it. And this is the part that's amazing to me. Amidst everything that's going on, when I say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, this resonates to me. For if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near to your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Because that's the God that I serve. That's the God that says, no matter what happens, I am there. You're my kingdom, my power, my glory extended over my people to accomplish my will in this nation, in this world, in this church. It's not just a prayer that we wrap ourselves up in. If I had access to it, I would have somebody come out in one of those guard uniforms from the Passion Play. That's what the Lord's Prayer looks like. That's the visual I can give you. Ready to establish his kingdom through our lives, through your life. Amen? This is your word, Lord, and we declare it because you've declared it. I've declared it, Lord, because you wrote it upon my heart. And now, Lord, we hear it together as a church family to be transformed by its truth, to be those that step into every situation and declare your kingdom through our lives. And so we do say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in our nation, in this church. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, forever.